It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
We have a new cat at our place. Actually, it's an old cat that's finally moved up in our feline hierarchy. I guess we're meant to have four cats, because when our oldest finally shuffled off her ninth mortal coil at the ripe old age of 17, the yellow stray that had been hanging back in the shelter belt and secretly sleeping in the greenhouse during winter storms began to come closer and closer to the kitchen door. It was like he knew there was a vacancy at the food dish, so he tried to mingle in with the other three at mealtime in hopes we might not notice the new face. But we did notice the new color. We call him Amarillo Cat, because Amarillo means yellow in Spanish. And bright yellow he is, with distinctive tawny stripes running along his considerable rangy length. He's been around for a little over a year, so I'd guess he's a couple of years old. I know he's not a really young or really old cat, because I saw him doing the catnip dance the other day. Several years ago, I thought it would be neat to plant some catnip in the herb garden as a treat for our feline friends. I didn't know it's a pretty aggressive spreader that scatters seeds to the four winds, so we now have enough catnip around the place to keep a tiger happy. Anyway, I had dug out a clump from a flower bed and tossed it aside for later pickup. It was soon forgotten by me, but not by Amarillo Cat, who began to pounce and roll and nip and chew on the bedraggled leaves. His catnip calisthenics were triggered by a chemical called nepetalactone, which was released from the leaves and stems when I disturbed the plant. I couldn't smell the aromatic oil, but for a minute or so Amarillo Cat certainly could, before the effect quickly subsided and he returned to his sedate self. Not all cats respond to catnip. It's supposedly a genetic thing, passed on through kitty generations to about half the world's cat population, and very young and very old cats seldom show interest in the plant. That's how I knew our newly adopted stray was an in-betweener. And my reference to tigers wasn't purely in jest, as research on the big cats shows that tigers especially enjoy a little recreational sniffing with catnip. Humans have long held an interest in the plant, but not for a drug-induced state of bliss, as nepetalactone has little effect on us or other animals. In early day England, it was used to flavor beer because it was cheaper than hops. Its value as an herbal was also realized, and it was introduced to the U.S. by colonists who used it as a tea for digestive complaints, a fever reducer, and as a treatment for babies' colic. It is currently undergoing testing as an insect repellent, and early results show catnip oil to be 10 times more effective than available treatments. If you'd like to grow your own catnip, it's fairly easy to do. Sun, earth, and water are all that's needed, plus some room to grow. Being a member of the mint family, it has the familiar square stems and spreading roots. Try containing it in one area by digging out strays or by planting it in large plastic pots underground to wall in the roots. I try to keep mine trimmed down in the summer, removing blooms before they produce seeds that will scatter all over the place. It doesn't take much time, and besides, a little vigilance is a small price to pay when I get to see Amarillo Cat do the catnip dance in return.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.